Introduction to 1987 Edition. It is now exactly 20 years since I wrote the previous introduction, and in those 2 decades, a great deal has happened on and around Mars. Above all, the fantastically successful Viking missions have transformed our knowledge of the planet and revealed just how little we really knew about it. Many of the confident assertions of astronomers have turned out to be just as far from the truth as the dreams of science fiction writers. However, there is only one respect in which advances in our knowledge of the planet has left me seriously embarrassed. I refer to the statement in Chapter 11, "There are no mountains on Mars." That is now slightly erroneous. The gigantic volcano Mons Olympus is almost 3 times the height of Everest and is itself challenged by several other peaks that surpass any on Earth. The old image of a flat and geologically uninteresting Mars could hardly have been more incorrect. But I am happy to say that the book's title has turned out to be perfectly valid, for the Viking orbiters photographed immense lines of sand dunes and other features characteristic of Earth's deserts, and many of the panoramic views made by the landers could easily be matched in Arizona or the Sahara. And as I wrote in 1966, the question of life is still wide open. Although the search for biologically based chemical reactions at the Viking landing sites was inconclusive, our 2 robot probes merely scratched an area a few meters across. There are many places on planet Earth that would seem equally barren. We now know that, some millions of years ago, Mars had a much denser atmosphere and running water. Almost certainly, conditions must have once been favorable for life, and if it ever got started on the planet, it could have adapted to the more hostile conditions that exist there today. Mars has surprised and even fooled us many times in the past. It may do so again. I have returned to Mars several times in the 40 years since I started working on this novel, most notably in Transit of Earth, see The Wind from the Sun, which I consider to be my best short story. That transit took place on 11 May 1984, but there were, alas, no humans on Mars to witness it. When will there be? I am happy to say that serious interest is now focusing once again on our enigmatic neighbor, and there are plans to make the exploration of Mars a major item on the human agenda. For further details, I refer you to Senator Spark Matsunaga's book, The Mars Project, Journeys Beyond the Cold War, Hill and Wang, 1986. I was extremely flattered when the senator for Hawaii, my second favorite island, asked me to write an introduction to his eloquent plea for U.S.-USSR cooperation in space. It ended with these words, "In just a few years, it will be exactly half a millennium since 3 tiny ships sailed forth from Spain to change the history of our species. And 3 is about right for the smallest practical Mars expedition, 1 unmanned cargo vessel and 2 manned ships, either able to carry both crews in an emergency." So is it absurdly optimistic to hope that by Columbus Day 1992, the United States and the Soviet Union will have emerged from their long winter of sterile confrontation? That would be none too soon to start talking seriously about mankind's next and greatest adventure. Arthur C. Clarke, Colombo, Sri Lanka, 28 August 1986.